But Jesus, what if they hate me? Love them and do them good. But Jesus, what if they curse me? Love them and give them a blessing. Pray for them. But Jesus, what if they hit me? Let them. Do not strike back. But Jesus, what if they take my coat? Then give them the shirt off your back as well. Say what? You are to be like God, since you are a child of God. God is kind and merciful. You are to be kind and merciful. You see, God, your Father and mine, God, who is holy mystery, has a dream. The writer of the book of Proverbs states, for lack of vision, the people perish. You can't kill a dream, especially if it's God's dream. The late Episcopal writer Verna Dozier, in her book, The Dream of God, critiques the institutional church for failing to uphold and live into God's dream for creation. At the apex of that dream, Ms. Dozier says, is a call to God's people to become the new thing in the world. The call is to be the true people of God, where God is present and active through such people, and everybody around them knows it. You might say Miss Verna caught the wave of God's dream and articulated it for the church back in 1991. They saw him from a distance, and they said to one another, here comes that dreamer. Let us kill him now and see what will become of his dreams. The vision that Dr. King declared for America in 1963 was of a beloved community where justice was for all and not for a privileged few, where freedom for all and the pursuit of happiness was true. But it was not just his personal vision. MLK had caught the wave of God's dream, and it had shifted and transformed him from being the pastor of Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia, to a voice of faith, hope, and love on the Washington Mall in Washington, D.C. And you see, that's the thing about riding the wave of God's dream for humanity and all of creation, because it changes you. It transforms you. You're never the same again. It takes away our fear and strengthens our faith, because we trust God-sized problems to be resolved with God-given creativity, of which we currently sorely lack. In short, catching the wave of God's dream fills us with the knowledge of who we truly are as the new people on the earth, living out of and into a new paradigm, a new worldview of the goodness and graciousness of God. My brothers and sisters in Christ, a shift in our consciousness is needed, in our worldview, in our maps of reality. We live out our lives thinking there's not enough. There's so much lack. There are too many people in the world. There's not enough for me. Ain't no Jesus in that. We need a shift in our worldview, in our maps of reality. It's long overdue, and especially in the church. Big C. It was this wave that the late Rosa Parks caught in 1955. After Rosa Parks left work at the Montgomery Ferry Department Store on Thursday, December 1st, 1955, she boarded the Cleveland Avenue bus at Court Square to go home. At that time, she was thinking about a workshop she was helping to organize, and she was a bit distracted as she took a seat on the bus, which turned out to be in the row right behind the section reserved for whites. At the next stop, the Empire Theater, a group of whites boarded the bus. There were still enough open seats in the rows reserved for whites for all but one of the new white passengers. The bus driver, James Blake, already known to Miss Parks for his roughness and rudeness, said, "Let me have those front seats." Rosa Parks and the other three African Americans seated in her row didn't move. So the bus driver said, "Y'all better make it light on yourselves and let me have those seats." The man next to Parks stood up and she let him pass her by. The two women in the bench seat across from her also got up. Parks remained seated. Although only one white passenger needed a seat, all four African-American passengers were required to stand up because a white person living in the segregated South would not sit in the same row as an African-American. I ain't telling you something you don't know. Many of you in here know this, yes? Despite the hostile looks from the bus driver and the other passengers, Rosa Parks refused to get up. The driver said, "Well, I'm gonna have to have you arrested." And Miss Parks said, "You may do that." At the time, bus drivers were allowed to carry guns in order to enforce segregation laws. And by refusing to give up her seat, she could have gotten shot, beaten, or killed. But it just so happened that bus driver Blake decided he would stand outside the bus and wait for the police to arrive. And as they waited for the police to come, many of the other passengers got off the bus, and many of them wondered, why didn't Ms. Parks just get up like the others had done? You see, Rosa Parks was willing to be arrested. Parks wasn't too old to get up or too tired, like some of the old stories used to say. Instead, Rosa Parks said in her autobiography later, "The only tired I was tired of giving in." Oppression and bondage are not aspects of the dream of God. And anyone who catches the wave and rides it will eventually come to know the image of God within them, and that they are, in effect, free. And they will then rebel against the system that turns God's dream into a nightmare for them. A prayerful study of Holy Scriptures reveals that God's dream is love. And it's expressed like this: in freedom, in justice, in compassion, in mercy and generosity, in kindness and patience, and even in joy. When we catch the wave of God's dream, we reflect those attributes inside to ourselves and outside to the world beyond our own skin and our own tribe. St. Paul says that God was in Christ, reconciling the world back to God, and that we are ambassadors of this reconciliation. Y'all, God never wanted us to know life apart from goodness and grace. God always wanted us to know that we were one with God. And so now, because of Jesus Christ, are we not the body of Christ? Are we not the physical manifestation of Christ's spirit? What some call Christ consciousness in the world? But what difference does it make what we believe? We believe in God the Father, maker of heaven and earth, if it doesn't cause others to move nearer to the dream of God. And if we don't catch the wave and allow the Spirit of God to change our inner natures to become more like Christ, what can we expect from others who don't even know him? So even though God's dream of the beloved community remains, not many of us have caught the wave or the spirit of God's dream. How do we know? We continue to live with the same worldview. There isn't enough, there's always lack, where somehow it's us versus them. We say we want change, but our individual behaviors and actions do nothing to warrant such change. Here's an example. There is more to life than meets the eye, but we allow our sensory reality, what we taste, smell, touch, give me the other two, I got carried away, hear and see, I knew it was five, we let this stuff, we think this is reality. There's more to life than meets the eye. We speak out of this stuff, our truth, I don't have enough. They don't like me. They need to. Instead of holding to our faith that there is plenty, that the goodness and graciousness of God is the truth. So what happens when we shift from that separation stuff to the real deal? And there's only one of life, and that life is God, and we all come out of it, and we all go back to it. What happens when that becomes our new paradigm? What happens when it gives us the same power of reconciliation? Because we are one in Jesus. And we are both divine and human. God dwells within us. Listen, church. Jesus did not ask us to worship him. He asked us to follow him. And he gave us the Holy Spirit to help change us. We think we gotta think our way into the kingdom. All we have to do is chill and let God be God. This simple truth, taken seriously, is enough to start us wondering about our way of living, to start our way of life to maybe change a little bit. It starts us questioning what we do and why we do it, or what we say and why we say it, and what we think and believe and why we think or believe those things. In short, it says how we show up in the world. A shift to Christ consciousness helps us understand our opportunities for co-creativity with God. And so maybe then we can really have some answers to the extreme poverty in this city. Maybe we can really get some answers about the crime, which studies indicate are two sides of one coin. Maybe we can really get answers about the dismal performance of our public school system. Or, and I just learned this, answers to the centuries-long corruption that plagues our common life in Baltimore. Ex-Mayor Pugh wasn't the first. The fear of changing is something that we all have at the beginning. Because actually, the Holy Spirit wants to change us into something that we don't even know what it looks like. But that's what resurrection is all about. I believe that we are terribly naive when it comes to acknowledging the mystery of life. We think that our thoughts, our perceptions are ultimate reality, and they are not. Principalities and powers do exist. As the writer of Ephesians attests in the second reading today, Dr. Walter Wink, the renowned theologian and educator in his book, Naming the Powers, says that postmodern readers of the New Testament have reduced our understanding of power to what's in front of us, what we see. And we think arrogantly that the people who came before us, our spiritual ancestors, were just superstitious. We think that there is little to contend with in the spiritual realm outside of what we can see or hear or feel or touch or taste. But my sisters and brothers in Christ, riding the wave of God's dream means knowing the truth and being set free in unimaginable ways. We can ride the wave by unlearning what we think we know and learning to listen to the voice of God. We can allow the Holy Spirit to change our minds, to see that the status quo is not of God, that the spiritual dimension of most systems in the world, including the church, government, everything, those things have to be dismantled. Because they're not life-affirming for everyone. And God's about life, not death. So as I see it, I believe that we have three invitations from God. We're invited to let go and say yes to God's dream so that we can know the possibilities for something better than the strife, the poverty, the injustice, the degradation that we're seeing. If we want better, and we know we can't think our way into better, we better let God give it to us. We gotta work with God. We're invited to pray, God, may your kingdom come and your will be done, and mean it. A lot of times we run through that. Our Father, we run through the Lord's Prayer like we're on a race. It's a prayer. Finally, we're invited to take the time to be with God intentionally, alone, so that we can get used to hearing God's voice and we can respond in a prayer that's unique to us. If you read further in the Genesis story of Joseph, you will learn that the interpretation of Joseph's dream, for which his brothers sought to kill him, eventually did come true. Dr. King was assassinated before he could see the wave he rode be fulfilled. But the dream lives on in the hearts of many. Dr. William Barber, who continues to call national attention to the plight of the poor in this land. Jim Wallace, who continues to call attention to the injustices that remain even in the church. Others who call out the misuse and abuse of the natural world and the rising of the sea levels and out-of-control forest fires, most recently in Australia. And over 60% of the world is now in some form of migration, mainly as refugees from war-torn countries or other forms of extreme violence. I was appalled to hear on NPR the other day that over 50% of millennials, not in our country, but in the whole world, believe that they will see World War III. Can we continue to pretend as if things will remain as usual? They will not. God's dream and vision for us says no. If you're not dreaming the dream of God, it's time to catch the wave. Jesus came so that we would know that the one within us is greater than anything or anybody outside of us. Do you believe it? Are you reflecting that Christ light? Let your light so shine. Don't be afraid. Cause like that old Sam Cooke song says, a change is gonna come. Amen.